Hey there. Welcome to The Circle of Life, Part 1, Episode 2, with Wally Chartrand at the table. If you're just dropping in here for the first time, I strongly suggest you go back and listen to Part 1, Episode 1, because Episode 2 just picks up right in the flow of what Wally was presenting. These are subdivisions of what was a longer one-piece Facebook live stream originally. So, either way, you can carry on. I know there'll be something good for you here, but it'll all make more sense if you hear episode one before you hear episode two. Thanks for dropping by. Here we go.
Now, the old people, they say to walk around the circle, to walk completely all the way around, they say it takes 100 years and to live a full life, right? But this first half over here, this over here represents that sweat lodge ceremony, right? Or mother's womb, right? And many years ago when I started going to ceremony, to sweat lodge ceremonies, I noticed that there's teachings for everything. And there's always teachings for everything. Nothing just happens by chance. There's always teachings. Yeah? So even in the sweat lodge, eh, those willows that make up that lodge, they say that's our mother's ribs. Eh? That's her ribs, right? When we're in the lodge. So one day I noticed inside most lodges that I attended in that there'd be four rings inside the lodge. Eh? There'd be four rings inside the lodge, right? So I asked, what does those represent? Eh? And that's these next four grandfathers over here. So what I've been told is that those four levels, they represent those four levels of life. Eh? This physical level, Nongum we say today, right? That's this level right here. Eh? And after we're done this level, they say we travel into this next level over here. We call it the spirit world. Some people know it as heaven, right? And that's that next level over here. But beyond that, they say there's even two more levels that we still have to travel. Eh? I don't know what these teachings are because I haven't taken that time to ask yet. Eh? But the reason I wanted to share that is because when we're inside the ceremony, when we're sitting inside the sweat lodge, eh, they say all of our ancestors, they too are having a ceremony at that exact same time, that exact same moment, which completes that circle, right? But they're sitting in a ceremony as well. And in their lodge, it too has four rings. And that's what these next four grandfathers over here represent. Eh? And what those represent is those four levels that we just traveled to get into this physical level right here today, right? And to understand that teaching, we don't have to look very far. All we have to do is look at the little ones, right? Because I remember when my kids were much younger, I'd walk by their bedroom. They'd be just talking away, laughing away, even arguing away sometimes. I'd go and look, and they're by themselves. Eh? But our children, they still have that connection. Eh? They see their imaginary friends. Because they just traveled from that other level to get into this level. Mejekamik, a long time ago, there was this young family. They were out on the land. A mom, a dad. Eh? They had a daughter about 9 years old. They had a brand new little baby girl about 2 weeks old. Every evening, just as that sun would go down, that little girl, she'd come and ask her mom, her dad, can I have some time alone with my sister? I want to talk to her. And they would give her that permission. But after many evenings of that same request, the parents, they became curious. Why does she need that time alone? What is she talking to her sister about? So after giving her permission one evening, they followed her and they peeked at her inside the teepee. They could see her bending over her little sister, and they could hear her. Sister, tell me one more time. Tell me one more time. What does Creator look like? Because I'm starting to forget. And it's us that have forgotten what Creator looks like. Eh? But our little ones, they still have that connection. They still know what Creator looks like. So, if it takes us 100 years to walk around this circle, and if there's four levels that we have to travel through, right? And if we've already traveled four levels, right, to get into this physical level, then what that means is that we must walk around 8 times around that circle, right, to live a complete full life. Eh? Well, what travels that 8 times? Well, we know this doesn't, right? Because once our body is done, it goes back to Mother Earth. And once our body is done, or mind, it too is pretty much done. Eh? But the one that travels at eight time is right here. Eh? And that's that spirit, right? That's the one that travels all eight times. Eh? And again, sometimes we look at our young people, or little ones even, right? And we can see that old spirit, we say. Eh? We'll comment, right? Or that person has an old spirit. Eh? But maybe that's what that represents, eh? Because our spirits are indeed very old. Eh? But this is the one that we neglect the most, is that spirit, right? We're always constantly feeding the mind, right? This morning I woke up and first thing I thought about was, what's the weather going to be like today? Because that determines how I'll dress, right? And then I remembered, oh yeah, we're going to be doing this teaching today, right? With the rest of the table. Eh? And again, throughout the day, we all constantly feed the mind, right? Sometimes I'll open the paper, what's happening in the world today, right? So we're always constantly feeding the mind. The same is true of the body as well, right? What did we do this morning when we woke up? We cleaned it, we groomed it, we dressed it, eh? And throughout today we'll feed it, and sometimes we'll even exercise it, right? But the one we forget is that spirit, eh? But that's the one that travels all eight times around that circle. K'chanishnabek, the old people tell us, it's difficult to walk around this circle. It's hard to walk around that circle, eh? But it's even more difficult when we walk it unbalanced, when we're not balanced. Eh? That even is more difficult, they say. Eh? And they tell us that that can happen to us at any point along this journey. Sometimes we can become unbalanced over here, eh? Before we even come out of our mother's womb. And today we know sometimes some of our parents, right? Sometimes they abuse alcohol or drugs. And today we know, we hear of children being born with what we call fetal alcohol syndrome or fetal alcohol effects, right? And when those things happen, sometimes it can affect that child along that journey. Sometimes we become unbalanced over here somewhere in this stage of great learning, right? And today we know it's our children that are the most vulnerable emotionally, physically, sexually, right? And when those things happen to them, sometimes it can affect them on their journey as well. Sometimes we can become unbalanced over here when we're too busy living that fast life, right? That boy, he'll move into the city, right? But because he wants that sense of belonging, that sense of protection, what does he do? He joins that gang, right? What do? They say, here, take this, right? What does he do? He pulls that trigger. And next thing we know, he's behind bars. Eh? It can affect him the rest of that journey over there. Sometimes we become unbalanced over here, eh? During that stage of great responsibility. Eh? And again, today we know that some of our parents, they're not in their balance, right? And to see that, as we look at these ones over here, right? We have over 11,000 of them in that child welfare system today, just in this province alone, right? 9,000 of those are indigenous children, eh? Because some of our parents, they've forgotten their roles and responsibilities. Eh? Sometimes I look at our men. Eh? They have children with that woman, right? Children with that woman, children with that woman. But they don't take any responsibility, eh? Because they're not balanced, right? They're unbalanced. Sometimes we can become unbalanced over here somewhere in this stage, that stage of great wisdom. And unfortunately, sometimes we hear it's some of our elders that are doing some of that victimization, eh? That are hurting others as well, eh? Because they're not in balance as well. Eh? Sometimes it even happens in our own ceremonies. Eh? That woman, she'll come out of that lodge. Oh, that elder was touching me in there. Because eh? Even some of our elders, they're not balanced, eh? Because they haven't done that healing work yet. Eh? But now they're running ceremony. So the key, they tell us, eh? The key in that is to walk as balanced as we can. Life is difficult already. We don't need to make it any more difficult, right? But that's the key, they tell us, eh? To walk as balanced as we can. Eh? So this morning, when we began, I talked about that first medicine, right? Which is that sage, which is a woman's medicine. and that it represents wisdom, strength, and clarity or vision, right? And anytime we use this medicine, we're also always taking time to acknowledge and to honor all women, right? And that's one of the teachings that comes with this medicine over here. One of the things you're going to find in there in our indigenous circle is that everybody has different teachings, meaning in that sometimes, you know, you might hear a teaching about sage, what I just shared with you, told in a whole completely different way. And it's not to say that this one is right and that one is wrong, or that one is wrong and this one is right. It just means that that person who's sharing received different teachings. That's all that represents. That's all that means. So just be mindful of that in that way, because we all have different teachings. The other medicine I wanted to share with you is that cedar medicine. And one of the teachings that comes with this medicine over here, this is a protection medicine. It's a protection medicine. This is that medicine we use to take away negativity and to invite positiveness. Negativity in our thinking, in our bodies, and in our spirit sometimes. So with this medicine, we can chew it and we can eat it. Sometimes we'll burn it and smudge with it. Or else sometimes we'll make a pot of tea out of it and we'll drink it, right? My kids, when they were much younger, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, they'd come running in the bedroom, Dad, I had a bad dream. So what do? I'll get up, I'll put some cedar under their bed, under their pillow, maybe by their windowsill somewhere, or maybe by their bedroom door. Because as a parent, I want them to be able to sleep good at night, right? Now today, my children, they're much older today. And today they'll get a cold or a flu, right? But instead of asking for Tylenol or cough syrup, Dad, can you make us some cedar tea? So I'll take a handful, put it in a pot with some water, turn the element on. After about 10-15 minutes, that water kind of goes from greenish to brown. Then it's ready. I'll take all the leaves out, go outside by a tree, put all the leaves there with a little tobacco, a little prayer. My kids, they'll drink that, and next day, they're okay again, kind of thing, right? If you've ever gone to a powwow, for example, right? You see all those dancers at the powwow, probably good chance, 7 out of every 10 maybe, they probably have a little bit of cedar inside their moccasins. And the reason for that is because some of our powwows are pretty competitive. Lots of money involved sometimes, right? Somebody might come through something on the ground, dancer will come, step on that, next thing you know, they got cramps, they're out, right? So it's a way of protecting themselves. If any of you have ever gone into a sweat lodge ceremony, each time we bring a grandfather, and that's those rocks, we call them grandfathers, when they're red hot, we bring them into the lodge, right? But each time those grandfathers come into the lodge, one of the first medicines we'll sprinkle on is a little bit of cedar. And the reason for that is because we're all coming in there to let go of all our negativities. But we don't want that to hit somebody else, right? So that's why we'll use that cedar. But in that way, we use it as a protection medicine. So I thought I would share that with you. That next medicine over here, Sama tobacco, there's 2 teachings that comes with this medicine. And the first teaching you saw this morning as before we even began, and that's that teaching of when we ask for something. Anytime we ask of anything, we always offer that tobacco, right? It's our way of asking. So maybe we need a ceremony, we'll find that person that can offer us that ceremony. Nah, I've come to offer you this, right? Or else maybe we have a dream. Oh, that dream is not making sense to us, right? Again, we'll find that person that might be able to interpret that dream. Nah, or else maybe we want our spirit name, our colors, our clans, right? Again, we'll find that person. Nah, I've come to offer you. Anytime we ask for something, anytime you see us pray and smoke our sacred pipes, right? They say that smoke that rises from that tobacco, they say that's our prayers going straight to Creator. It's like me picking up my cell phone and giving God a call, right? But anytime we ask for something, we always offer that tobacco. And there's all kinds of teachings that come with that, right? When we go hunting, we offer tobacco. When we go traveling, we'll offer a little tobacco, ask for safety, right? Got a lead foot, right? So sometimes we do everything, you know, to ensure that we get those things that we need in our lives as well. And one of the ways we do that is by asking with tobacco. That second teaching that comes is anytime we give thanks. Anytime we give thanks, right? We always offer that tobacco as well. So when we go into a ceremony, for example, the first thing we do as soon as we come out of that ceremony is we'll go and we'll take a little handful of tobacco. We'll go to that sacred fire and we'll put that tobacco, miigwech, thank you, right? For whatever it is that we may have received in that ceremony. That hunter, he'll make that kill. But before he butchers that moose, what he'll do is he'll take his tobacco and he'll say thank you to that spirit of that animal. Because that animal, it gave up its life so that we can have life. And for that, we say miigwech, we say thank you. Or else I'll get to my destination, maybe in Thompson, whatever, right? I'll stop one more time, I'll get out, and I'll put a little tobacco again. Made it safely, right? And this time around, I didn't even get a speeding ticket, right? So anytime we ask for something, or when we give thanks, we always offer that tobacco. That fourth sacred medicine that we commonly use is that sweetgrass medicine. And one of the teachings that comes with this one over here, this is that kindness medicine. And this is that medicine we use for that. When you light sweetgrass, it has a sweet, gentle aroma to it, right? But this is that medicine we use to invite kindness in our way of thinking and back into our body, back into our spirit. But usually to make a braid, we usually use 21 strands to make that braid. We divide them into 7, 7, and 7. These first 7 over here, they represent those 7 generations behind us. Who we are, what we are, is because of them, right? Our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents, they're the ones that made all the trails that we walk today, right? The old people, they tell us today, when we pray to them, sometimes that healing takes a little longer to come. And the reason they say is because those old trails, they've been disturbed. And what they mean by that is, today we put up dams, right? That river used to flow that way, but now that river flows this way, where that trail used to be. Maybe there's a big lake there now, where that trail used to be, a concrete highway, a town, a city, where that trail used to be. So they say when we pray to them, they come right away. But then they get to that obstacle, now they got to find a different way, right? And that's why today they say, sometimes it takes a little longer. These next 7 over here, they represent those 7 sacred teachings, those 7 laws that we all hear about. Love, respect, honesty, humility, courage, wisdom, and truth. The old people, they tell us that those teachings, they're very simple. Love, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, right? Very simple teaching. They say that those teachings are very powerful. Respect, powerful teaching. They say that those teachings are very beautiful. Humility. When I can understand that I'm no better than any of you, right? But then none of you are any better than me either. Regardless the color of our skin, regardless what we believe in or don't believe in, regardless where we sit on that totem pole of life, every evening that sun goes down on the west side, right? And when that sun goes down, we're still all going to be human beings. And when we can accept that, when we can understand that, that's what makes those teachings powerful and beautiful. But the other thing we're told is that we don't walk them every day. Love, L-O-V-E, it's just a 4-letter word. But when we show that love, when we demonstrate that love, when we walk that love, that's what makes those teachings powerful and beautiful. The last thing they say is, how can I love you if I don't first learn to love myself? How can I respect you if I'm not even respectful to myself? How can I tell you the truth if I'm not willing to tell myself the truth? So what they're saying is that those teachings always have to start from within. But that's what these ones represent over here. Those last 7 strands, they represent those 7 generations ahead of us. Our children, grandchildren, those children are yet to be born. Why are they important? Well, what we do to her, Gimamai Nana Kim, Mother Earth, is one day going to affect them. Right now, she gives us everything we need and want to have life. But if we don't look after her, what's going to be left for them, right? And it's up to us today to make sure that there's something left for them. That circle that's around me today, is that the same one I want to pass on to them? Especially if my circle involves alcohol abuse, drug abuse, family violence, lying, stealing, cheating, is that what I want to pass on to them? And sometimes it's going to be up to us to break those cycles, right? And hopefully to replace them with something better. But anyways, we bring those together and we make this one braid. Eh? Yesterday, today, tomorrow, mind, body, and spirit, man, woman, child, man, woman, creator, God, right? But anyways, when my son was born, I made my son a special promise. And I promised him that we wouldn't cut his hair till he was 7. So we did that 11 years ago. Today he's 18. I cut my hair same time. But anyways, when my boy was 4 years old, he knew this teaching already. Because every morning as I'd get him ready for daycare, I would braid his hair. And as I'd braid his hair, I would ask him, his name is Misko. I'd say, Misko, what does your braid represent, my boy? Sweet grass? Well, that's good. What does sweet grass represent then? Kindness? Okay, that's good. And what does each of these three braids represent, my boy? My mind? Yeah. What else? My body? Cool. What's the third one? My spirit. Oh, that's good, Misko. What are you going to do today at daycare, Misko? He said, Dad, he said, I could be kind to my mind. Oh, that's good. What else? He said, Dad, I can also be kind to my body. Cool. What else? He said, Dad, I can be kind to my spirit. Oh, that's good, Misko. What's going to happen if you do that, my boy? He said, Dad, I'll be strong. Eh? And that's that second teaching that comes with this medicine. It's through our kindness that we're most strong. Anybody can raise their fist at somebody else. Anybody can use their words to hurt somebody, to put somebody down, right? My other little boy, Zungade, when he was about 3 years old, maybe, I pissed him off one day. He looked at me and said, Dad, I don't like you no more. Even a 3-year-old can hurt us with their words, right? But when we have somebody in our face trying to hurt us, trying to put us down, right? Trying to belittle us, whatever, right? And to still love that person, to still respect that person, to still be kind to that person, sometimes can take a lot of strength, eh? But that's what this medicine teaches us. It's through our kindness that we're most strong. The last thing is that the old people tell us is that our whole life is intertwined within this braid. And it begins over here with what we don't see, which are the roots, right? All of us have roots on our father's side, on our mother's side, in the community from which we come. All of us have that, right? Regardless where we end up in life. Now imagine a tree without any roots. A little wind will come, like yesterday. That tree is going to fall down, right? So roots are very important. Eh? Or childhood, or adolescence, or adulthood, and into elderhood, all written within this braid. But one of the things that some of us make the mistake of doing sometimes is something will happen along this journey we call life, right? And it may be a very traumatic experience, a life-changing experience, right? And maybe it's a loss of a loved one, right? Or maybe it's a relationship, right? That, you know, affects us. Eh? But what happens sometimes is sometimes we get fixated just on that one or two events in our life and that. And sometimes the old people tell us we can get stuck on that, right? And sometimes we spend too much time just focusing in just on that one event. And they say if we do that sometimes, right? Sometimes when we do that, sometimes it can break us, eh? It can break us, right? In terms of, you know, continuing along our journey. And sometimes that's what we see today. Sometimes we see people getting stuck. Eh? They get stuck on something. But the important thing they say is to focus on all that journey. Yeah, that's part of the key. Yeah? That's part of the key. To focus on all the journey. Yeah? And to try and walk it as balanced as we can. Yeah? But that's part of what this teaching teaches us here. Yeah? Is through that sweetgrass medicine. So I haven't talked about this guy yet, and that's kind of where we're going to finish things today, by talking about this guy at the center here. And what this guy represents is, this one represents that child, yeah? And how at one time that child was at the center of all creation. Yeah? Those parents, they both had a relationship with that child. Those grandparents on both sides, they too had a relationship with that child. All the younger and older siblings, they too had a relationship with that child. Those aunties, those uncles, eh? They all had a relationship with that child. The first, second, third, fourth cousins, they too all had. In fact, the whole community had a relationship with that child. And in return, that child had a relationship with all of them as well. But here's what we know happened here on Turtle Island beginning about 150 plus years ago, right? Through the government at the time, through the RCMP, and through our own churches even, right? They came in and they took that child from that sacred hoop, eh? And they put that child in that square institution we now know as the residential school. Hmm? And right from day one, they started to peel away from that child all of those relationships he had known. They started with that physical one, right? They removed them 50 miles, 100 miles away, sometimes even up to 500 miles away, right? So they took them from that, you know, place of familiarity, right? And they put them into a strange place. They took them away from that room where he slept every night, in that bed where he felt safe every night, eh? And they put him into this huge dormitory with a bunch of other boys, right? Where at night, as he tried to fall to sleep, right, you would hear their whimpering, their crying. Sometimes you'd experience their nightmares. And sometimes you'd even see that door open in the middle of the night and that dark shadow walking through that door, going to one of the beds, picking up one of those little boys and walking back out with them. Hmm? They took him away from that kitchen table where he sat every day with his family, where they would talk about the day's events. Eh? And they put him into this dorm, right, where they put strange food in front of him, food he had never seen or eaten before. And food that made him gag, sometimes that made him throw up even, right? Where they would tell him, you're going to eat it anyway, and they forced it upon him. They took him away from that forest where he climbed trees outside his home, where he hunted rabbits. They took him away from that lake in front of his home where he bathed every day, where he swam and enjoyed himself, or even caught fish maybe to put on the table. And they put him into this gated area and told him not to go beyond those gates, that boundary, right? Or he'd be punished. That boy, he came in there with his beautiful long hair. Ah, you look like a savage, so they cut his hair. That boy, he came in there with his little sister. Your sister belongs on that side with the girls, you belong on this side with the boys. Catch you talking to her and we'll punish you. That boy came in there with his little brother. Your little brother belongs on that side with the little boys. You belong on this side with the big boys. Catch you talking to him and we will punish you. That boy came in there being able to speak his Anishinaabe language. Ah, we can't understand that gibberish. Catch you talking any of that and we'll punish you. From now on, you're going to learn this new language. We call it English. That boy came in there knowing the ways of his people. Ah, that's devil worshipping, that's paganism. Catch you doing any of that and we'll punish you. From now on, you go to church in the morning, you go to church at night before you go to bed, you go to church every Sunday. And after peeling away for 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 11, some of them even 14 years. I just met an elder recently. She got taken when she was 4 years old. They returned her when she was 18. But after peeling away all of those relationships, until one day that little boy, he looked in the mirror, he could no longer recognize who he had become. He could no longer remember where he had come from. And when that day finally came, they said to that little boy, okay, go back now, go back now. I have a friend in that. Eh? He went to residential school in Sagging First Nation, an hour outside Winnipeg here. But that's where he's originally from too. Eh? That's his band, right? His reserve, Sagging. But he went to residential school in his own community. But I remember him sharing a story how he would look out his bedroom window, how he'd be able to see his mom and his dad's house across the river. And if he was really, really lucky, being able to see his mom and his dad outside in the yard. 10 months out of the year, not being able to cross that river to go and hug his parents, right? Now, I can't imagine what that would be like, right? I can't imagine it. Eh? All I can imagine is, you know, to be able to see somebody, but not be able to go and touch them, somebody you love, right? To me, that would be like torture. One day, that sister, that nun, she came to him and she told him, "Today is a very special day. Can you tell me what day it is?" "I don't know, sister." "I asked you what day it is." "I don't know, sister." "What day is it?" "I don't know, sister." And the more he said, "I don't know," the more upset she became. She got so upset at him that she beat the crap out of him. That night, as he was laying in the infirmary, covered with the bruises that she had inflicted upon him, she came to him and asked him one more time, "What day is it?" "I don't know, sister." "It's your birthday." He had never celebrated a birthday prior to that. He didn't know. I have another friend. He comes from a little community called Barrensland First Nation, Brochet, Manitoba. Now, if you look on the map, you have Brochet, Lac Brochet, Tadouli Lake, and then you have Churchill, just a little south of them, right? So they're the three most northern communities. But anyways, he got sent to Birtle, Manitoba Residential School. That's where he ended up, almost 500 miles from his community, right? But anyways, he was sharing how when he was a little boy growing up, he had this thirst. He just wanted to learn every possible thing that he could learn. So he was one of those little kids in school. You probably know that kid too, right? He always had his hand up asking questions. So one day as he was sitting in class, he put up his hand to ask a question. That nun from her desk looked up at him and she said, "Charles, why do you always have your hand up? Are you stupid or something?" He never asked again. My friend, he's in his 70s today, and even till today, he still will not ask for help if he needs it, because of her words, right? Now, that's only three stories from two men. Multiply that 100 times, another 100 times, right? And we begin to understand just a little bit why things are the way they are, right? Why some of our families are the way they are. Why our community is the way it is sometimes. That had a lot to do with it, right? But that's only a piece of the iceberg, right? The tip of the iceberg. Put on top of that colonization. There's an area here in northern Manitoba called York Factory. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's not too far, just south of Churchill, Manitoba, along the Hudson's Bay coast. But anyways, York Factory, prior to European contact, was the main trading area for the Cree in northern Manitoba. But anyways, one day, these big wooden boats came across, touched the shore at York Factory, and these big bearded men got off those boats, right? And they decided to stay for a little while. So after a little while, they started intermingling with some of those Cree women, and didn't take long, some of them became pregnant. And after about 2 or 3 years, summers, whatever, and that, winters, right, these big bearded men, they would get back on their big boats, and they would go back across the water, back to their families, leaving a bunch of these little blue-eyed, blonde-haired little babies behind, right? So what happens when you're different? You get picked on, right? Sometimes those women would become ostracized even, right? Because they had intermingled with that other tribe. Today, you go to communities like the Tasquayak Cree Nation, Spit Lake, or Banabanabe Cree Nation, Oxford House, right? Or Norway House. You can still see elders today with very light skin, with blue eyes, because they're all descendants of that, that era. Put on top of that the reservation system, right? I'm a young man, I have a young family, but today I go and open the cupboards and my cupboards are bare. What do I do? Well, I'm a provider, right? So I go all over the reserve. But this year, for whatever reasons, the game is very scarce. Can't find nothing. So now what do I got to do, right? Now I got to approach this white guy, right? This little white guy. And I got to approach him very gently, because this is going to depend on it, right? My putting food on the table. So I got to approach him. And if he kind of likes me or if he's in a good mood that day, right? "Sir, sir, sir, I've been all over my reserve. Sir, I can't find nothing. My cupboards are bare. Please, please, please. Can I go off the reserve?" And if he's in a good mood, right? likes you, right? He'll take a piece of paper, he'll scribble on it. Here, you can go. Can't imagine what that would be like, right? I'm a grown-ass man, right? And all I'm trying to do is put food on the table. But I have to go and ask permission. How humiliating, right? And today we wonder why some of our men are the way they are. Put on top of that, love has no boundaries, right? Right? That woman in the reserve, right? She falls in love with that guy in town, right? What does he do? He puts a ring on her finger. But the moment he puts that ring, just like magic, right? She loses all her treaty rights, her indigenousness, right? She loses all that, yeah? She even has to move from her home in the community because he's not allowed to come and live there. She even has to give up that little $5 bill she gets every year from the government. Love has no boundary, right? That guy in the community, right, on the reserve, he falls in love with that woman in town, right? Puts a ring on her finger, and just like magic, all of a sudden she has all these treaty rights. Right? She's a full Indian. Right? She even gets to go and collect $5 every year. Something wrong with that picture, right? Something's wrong with that picture. Put on top of that, right, the 60s school, right? How hundreds and hundreds of our children were forcibly removed from their families and their communities, and they were placed into non-Indigenous homes all across Manitoba, Canada, into the United States, into Europe, right? Even New Zealand. I just met a lady from New Zealand. Yeah? She's from here, Manitoba. She was adopted out there. Placed into homes, into communities, into little towns where they were very, very different, right? Because of their color. So what happens when you're different? Well, you don't get to be picked on the basketball team, right? You don't get to be invited to birthday parties. So they were treated differently. But our kids are smart, right? As soon as they became of a certain age, they ask questions, they find out. Ah, I'm from that community. Hey, I'm Indigenous. Hey, I have family over there. Huh? They're going to welcome me back. They'll welcome me back. They have all these dreams, right? So they make their way back. And at first they're welcomed, obviously, yeah. But soon enough, that family, their biological family, as they're watching them, as they're listening to them, they begin to figure out, ah, he or she thinks differently. They even have an accent. What happens when you're different? You get pushed away, right? We call those ones the apples, right? They were red on the outside, but they were white on the inside. They couldn't fit over there, but when they returned, they weren't welcomed either or accepted. Put on top of that the justice system, right? How it is today, Indigenous people, we make up, what, barely 4% of the overall population in Canada. But we make up 30% of the justice system. In that our children, or women, or men, are incarcerated at 30% higher. Or we make up 30%, I should say, of the population. Something wrong with that picture, right? Put on top of that the health system. The health system, right? Where Mr. Sinclair walks into emergency, or wheelchairs himself into emergency, and he sits there for 34 hours, right? Because he has blockage, in his category, whatever you call that, right? 34 hours. Until finally somebody realizes, oh, he's been dead for some of those hours already because he's starting to stiff up already. I can't imagine sitting in emergency for even 4 hours, right? But he sat in there for 34 hours. Nobody paid attention. Something wrong, right? Something wrong with that picture. Put on top of that, even the education system, right? Where year after year, especially in our isolated northern communities, right? Year after year after year, right? We get brand new teachers every year at the school, yeah? But these brand new teachers, they just graduated June, a couple months ago, yeah? So they come up north in that, now they're gonna come and practice their skills, their teaching skills, right? So then our children become guinea pigs in that sense, right? And after they've practiced their teaching skills, right? And they get proficient, right? After about a year or so, that teacher, oh yeah, I'm pretty good at this, I can do this, yeah? So what do? Well, they come back to the city. They come back up south. Hmm? And that cycle repeats itself over and over, year after year after year. When that child comes through that elementary, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, grade 9, right? Until finally they have to move off the reserve to further their education. So they come to the city or wherever, right? Only to learn that they're not functioning at a grade 10 level, but rather they're functioning maybe at a grade 5 level. Well, they obviously become frustrated, right? And they say, you know what, the hell with it, I give up. Something wrong with that picture as well, right? So what I'm getting at in that, eh? It's not to put guilt on anybody, right? Because we didn't create that, we didn't do that, right? But today we hear a lot about reconciliation, right? We constantly hear that, eh? In the media, through government, through different corporations, organizations, right? I'm always constantly hearing reconciliation. But the report was on truth and reconciliation, right? And sometimes we neglect or we forget the truth aspect. Hmm? But that's where we need to be. If we're going to move into that next stage, yeah, we first need to be able to talk about the truth. Yeah? And it's not to shame anybody, it's not to guilt anybody, no. But we need to be able to talk about our truths, right? Our realities, right? In order for us to get to that next level. The old people, they tell us in that, how did that whole 150 years of just residential school, out of that whole experience, right? They tried to take away our identity. They tried to take away our culture. They tried to take away our languages. They even tried to take away our spirituality, they said. But, they said, where they affected us the most, where they hurt us the most, is in our ability to be in relationship. That's where they affected us the most. That's where they hurt us the most, they said. And that's the part that we need to focus on. Yeah? That's the part that we need to rebuild. Yeah? If we're going to move on in our relationships with one another, yeah? We have to first mend those relationships. Yeah? And part of mending is by us sitting together like we are today, right? And being able to share those experiences, those truths, right? And just to put them there on the table, so to speak, right? And for us to have those discussions, to have those conversations. Yeah? We're not going to change the past, no. Yeah? And it's not our fault, right? But we can be responsible today, and we can teach our children today, right? We can teach our children today. That's what I've been doing with my children, yeah? Teaching them to be in better relationships. My boy, Misko, yeah? Kindness, right? Be kind, my boy, right? Be kind to others. And my son today, those that know him, those that have met him, will know that he's a very kind young man. Because I've taught him that. Yeah? That's responsibility. Yeah? That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm talking about. Right? So with that, I just wanted to come to an end for today in that. And hopefully, some of you rejoin us a little bit later in that, where we, you know, maybe have a little bit of discussion, yeah? Maybe talk a little bit about what's something that stuck out for you, what's something that you can take away from this, and yeah? What are some other questions that you might have, right? in some of what we've shared. And then next week, like I was telling Tim, this morning I'll do the first 500 years, right, what I'm sharing with you. Next Sunday when we come back, I'll do the last 30 years, meaning I want to take you on my own journey next time we come together in that, okay? And there's some teachings that come with that as well, too, in that. But that's what I wanted to share today, and I really do appreciate all of you that have taken that time to come and listen today. That means a lot, too, in that, because, again, if we don't have anybody listening, then what good is the message, right? So in that sense, again, I just want to thank you for taking that time, and we'll see you in a little bit. Enjoy.